Good morning.
Glad you're going to be spending time for a couple minutes in God's Word this fine Sunday morning. I hope you've been getting a lot out of what's been discussed. Today will be a little review from the past, and as usual, I will probably ask hard questions, but sometimes we need to find the answers. So before we begin, let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day and the time that we're going to spend in your word, and I ask that it would speak to us, that you would give us the ability to understand what's being discussed and the desire to apply it to our life and put it into practice. So we thank you for this time. We pray that it will be time well spent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since we began meeting together now 11 weeks ago, I've been challenging us to be seeking the Lord with all of our hearts. More than once I have asked, is He the Lord, your God? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Over the last 3 weeks, we have learned that God is everywhere at one time, that is, omnipresent. He's all-powerful, or omnipotent. And last week, God is omniscient, aka all-knowing. This week, we'll be looking at potentially a term not as well known, immutable. What is it to be immutable? Immutability applies to the nature of God. He is always God. Never will God fail to accomplish His will due to a change in His power or knowledge to accomplish His purposes. Whatever the attributes of God were before the universe was set in place, they remain the same to this day and will continue throughout all eternity. We can't mess with perfection. The qualities of His being always stay the same. Here at Christ Little Topahawken Church, we believe God's Word to be true. One more time, let me take you to the infinite wisdom of Psalm 119, specifically verses 89 and 90. In them we read, "Your Word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures." Psalm 100, verse 5 tells us, "The Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." God and His attributes never change. When you think about it, the world is constantly undergoing change. Volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and erosion change the face of the planet daily. Seasons change. Weather changes. Mark Twain once said, "If you don't like the weather in New England now, just wait a few minutes." We change. 30 years ago, there was a lot less of me in those days. Less weight, less gray hair, less wrinkles, less pain. Admit it, things change. Everything in all creation is subject to change, except the Creator. For He, being God, will not change. Psalm 102, verse 12 tells us, "You, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures, your fame endures through all generations." In the same chapter, down in verses 25 through 28, we read, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. Because God does not change. Would you agree that neither does His counsel or truth? God's word is reliable. Listen to Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. For the follower of Christ, this counsel is refreshing. But for the unbeliever, the knowledge that God does not change can be terrifying. The truth found in God's word says that the soul that sins will die. We find also that He will not alter His decree. What He says goes. His word says that the wages of sin is death. My friend, these truths will be just as true at the final judgment as the day when they were written. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that on the day, God may grieve. I do know He will not change His position on sin. The standard that the Bible presents for judgment is exactly the same standard that will be implemented on Judgment Day. John chapter 12, verse 48 states, "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day." The immutability of God serves as a warning that He will keep His word regarding judgment for sin. When God spoke to Judah and Jerusalem in the book of Jeremiah concerning the judgment about to come upon these nations for their sins, He spoke of a judgment that was going to come about, which would not change because He will not change His mind. Take some time this week to read Jeremiah chapter 4. See for yourself the actions the people committed for God to issue such a punishment. Listen to verses 27 and 28. Verse 27 says, "This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn, and the heavens above grow dark. But I have spoken, and I will not relent. I have decided, and I will not turn back." In Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, God promised He would relent of the disaster He pronounced against this wicked nation if they would repent. We read, "If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." When you read Jeremiah 4, you will see that God indicates His judgment is irreversible. We need to come to understand that there is a time for repentance. And during that time, we have opportunity to repent with the assurance that God will forgive our sins and turn from the judgment He has set in place. But know this, the time for repentance comes to an end, and then we must face the consequences of our sins. In Jeremiah 4, verse 14, we find good instruction. "Wash the evil from your heart and be saved. How long will you harbor wicked thoughts?" God's plea seems to have been ignored, and so judgment will come. Once the time for repentance has passed, God's wrath is going to come about. We see this in Genesis 6 in the account of Noah. The gospel was proclaimed for more than 100 years. I can just picture Noah in the streets, at the supermarket, maybe at the bar, being ridiculed for building a boat where it has never rained. But he's saying, God said He's going to send a flood. You got to be on board. And the people thought he was nuts. But when God shut the door of the ark, and it was God who shut the door, the time for repentance had come to an end. And the time for judgment had arrived. Judgment is certain for those who rebel against God. Ezekiel 8:18 says this, I will deal with them in anger. I will not look on them with pity or spare them. Although they shout in my ears, I will not listen to them. God himself, it states in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. This means that he is as he is forever. God has always been all-powerful, all-knowing, and he forever will be. He is infinitely wise. God's plans and purposes are not subject to change. There will never be a time when God will be any different than he is right now. What does God's immutability have to do with us? For the follower of Christ, the fact that God does not change allows us to trust what is said in the Bible in regard to salvation, how we're to live our lives, and that we're to worship him. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We are to be focused on things that last. If Christ is our focus, the things of this world are put into proper perspective. Frequently, people set their time, energy, money, and efforts focused on this world. A world that we've already determined is unstable and ever-changing. 1 John 2:15 through 17 gives this instruction. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Passages like this help us do a reality check. Are you spending more time pursuing the things of this world that pass away? Or are your efforts spent on bringing glory to God and enjoying time with him? John tells us of his glimpse of heaven in Revelation 4:8, saying, Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In this passage, we see that God is perpetually praised for the fact that he is ever-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, and never-changing. The God of the Bible is as he was, he is, and forever will be. He is worshipped in heaven by acknowledging him for who he truly is. It's been said that we're going to be practicing on earth what we'll be doing in heaven for eternity. And until then, we're to be walking throughout life covered by God's amazing grace. Are you seeking God with all of your heart? That's the question. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that the evil one doesn't have opportunity to rob, kill, or destroy anything that's been experienced through this time. And I pray that you would use this time to effectively mold us and shape us into the people you created us to be. So we thank you in advance for a work completed. In Jesus' name, amen.